Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Look, we started the season with the pursuit of a big free agent, which didn't work out. We go down to Dallas. If you would have told me that we were going to merge with one of the best left-handed pitchers in all of baseball, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that deal getting done as we went down there. I didn't see us emerging with him. We did. It's really exciting. We've added two, we think, top-of-the-rotation guys to a group that's got three young guys who gave us 30 starts each, which I think will really help take some of the pressure off of them. We got Lucas Giolito coming back. Pitching was clearly the priority this offseason. We still have work to do, obviously, but we got a lot of guys coming back off injury, and we're excited about a team that's going to win over 90 games and hopefully win that division and get us into the postseason. And we're set now with that group for the foreseeable future. And that was the goal, to get us to this position where we've got a sustainable group that can be competitive year in, year out as we go forward.
Sam Kennedy, Red Sox winter weekend at Fenway Park. I want to get into how desperate the Red Sox seem to be to get people in the doors this year. That was interesting. We're going to have it be sustainable. Yep. We're going to be competitive every year. 90 wins, winning the division. I haven't heard Kennedy that out on the limb in a while, I don't think.
No, he was very surprised they were able to get Garrett Crochet.
Yeah,
he was shocked by that.
Didn't expect that.
Didn't see that one coming. So they added two front-of-the-line rotation guys, right?
Crochet and Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler.
I guess we're putting him in that bucket, I guess.
I guess we are. And he says, like, they're good for the future. Okay, not to start off as a negative Nelson. How long is Garrett Crochet under team control for?
This year and next.
How long is Walker Buehler under contract for?
This year.
Okay. That's long term?
Well, yeah.
It's this season, basically.
Yeah, it's long. I mean, September's a long time away.
So we tried to get Juan Soto. Remember that? We tried to. We were in on Soto, didn't get him. And then we got these two pitchers for a year. It's like, I like Garrett Crochet a lot. I think Garrett Crochet is going to be good. It's all projection with him. Right there, it was. He hasn't thrown a ton for in his career at all. Walker Buehler has had some good seasons. I like him. I certainly do put them at the top of the rotation, and then you can put in Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford and Brian Baio. I'm not holding out hope for Lucas Giolito, but whatever. If you want to include him, that's fine. They haven't added to the lineup at all. They haven't.
Not yet.
Not really. I'm trying to think. Like, there's nobody. The big acquisitions are their starts, which is good. It's a good place to start. I think you do increase your win total just from the outside, like previewing the year. I think they're definitely a lot better. But, you know, being close to Juan Soto and then being rumored on some of these other guys that it doesn't appear like you're going to get is still, you haven't really invested that financial backing on any of the players yet.
No.
You know, Wallace Chapman's a one-year deal.
You're screwing over Jaron Duran out of $500,000.
You're fighting with Jaron Duran over $500,000.
So,
right.
Like, forget paying anybody in a big way like Juan Soto, $700 million. I thought they'd at least be in on somebody. And maybe they still will be. You know, maybe Bregman is a name that's still out there that they could go get. Although I heard Ken Rosenthal talking about this. And he's like, well, basically, the Red Sox are calling everybody's bluff. Giants aren't going to sign him. Tigers aren't going to sign him. So we're just going to say, you have nowhere else to go. You have to come to us, and we're going to try to get you on a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, means they want the deal. They don't want the player. They want the deal. And Garrett Crochet is a deal. They traded for him. They gave up real prospects.
Yeah.
But they're not paying any money.
No.
Walker Buehler, they're not paying any money. Aroldis Chapman, it's a one-year deal. And who even wanted him in the first place? So Yeah, I have an issue with that. But what I find interesting about Sam Kennedy, has he, and it'd be strong to call it a guarantee, but has he given you win totals and even talked about winning divisions? Has he talked about that recently?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
In fact, he's had to put out some of the fire, like some he had to put out like the full throttle fire from a year ago.
So I wonder if they're feeling themselves a little bit. Okay, I don't know that I would advise them to do that, but I wonder if they are. And I'm going to hold them to it. Sam Kennedy said 90 wins. Sam Kennedy said win the division. Sam Kennedy said sustainable. Year in, year out, competing. No more last places.
Right.
No more missed postseasons. This is what you said.
You're wrong. You're a liar.
No, no, no. It's what you said, Sam. This is what you said. So I'm going to choose.
Usually he's wagging the finger at you. Not guaranteeing wins.
I'm going to choose to flag these comments.
Sure.
We're going to remember them. Uh-huh. And if it's another last place finish, we're going to throw them back in your face. Because you told me it was sustainable, and you went out and you were going to win 90 games, and you were going to win a division.
And you can't tell us that the commitment's the same when you're not in on these big free agents, like really in. Like you tried to convince yourself that maybe Juan Soto was a real thing.
No, I was convinced.
It wasn't. Suzuki or Sasaki, the Japanese pitcher coming over, not a finalist.
No, they're not
even
finalist
getting
for
a
him.
Call on that.
They weren't in on Corbin Burns or Max Fried in a real way.
No. None of these guys. They apparently were interested in Blake Snell. He signed immediately somewhere else. So, yeah, the one-year deal guys,
sure.
Like, they're getting those guys. But a commitment, you know, this all goes back to, it's funny, there was that Reddit AMA with Alex Speer, and we've referenced this a few times, where a Red Sox fan asked him, like, what kind of offseason do you predict for the Red Sox? What kind of contracts? And he's like, I think they'll give out a $100 million contract. That was sort of the takeaway. We know that Soto goes for over $700, sort of put it in perspective, and they haven't even given out a $100 million contract, right? Like, they've made, I don't even know if they've reached $100 million total. With all the guys.
Definitely not.
Because what's Buehler, 20?
21.
21. Chapman's like 10 point something. Okay, so they have not even approached $100 million yet.
The other bum-ass reliever that
oh, yeah, you guys forgot. Your guys
that Breslow brought up to you. Yeah, he's like, you don't even remember Justin Wilson. It's like, no, yeah, we tried to forget about him.
No, we don't.
Is that his name?
You think Breslow's going to come on with us again? I don't know if he loved that.
I
think he had the best time.
I don't think it was his favorite.
No.
But I don't know.
Like, guys, we got Crochet, right? We're like,
It was like one nice question.
Yeah, he's a good player. Now, what about the rest of your squad?
Yeah,
here?
I don't know. I mean, I'd be happy to have him back on. I don't know that he'd be thrilled.
No,
about it.
Probably not. I don't even remember the name of that guy. Who the hell were we even talking about?
Was it Justin Wilson?
Wilson. I don't know.
Oh, you think of the volleyball?
I'm thinking of the ball from Castaway.
I think of the neighbor from Home Improvement.
You only saw his eyes.
That's who I was thinking of.
They got real creative by the end of that series on how to cover his face.
No, they did.
Yeah.
No, it was every week. It was like a new challenge.
They're like, what is this? Look at where he is now. Look where he's hiding now.
The writers on that show.
Real smart.
They haven't. Not even. I don't think they've even close to $100 million, Keith.
No, they haven't. Now, last year they were 81 wins. Just adding Crochet and Walker Buehler, I feel like 90 is a bit of a ask. Like if they had one more bat, I feel like, you know what, not that bad of a expectation.
And so, look, and the name already passed by on who it was. Was it Guy in the 413? The name scrolled by real quick in the Twitch chat. But whatever, they said, would you rather he came out and said they're going to win 60 games? No, I find it
set
noteworthy.
The bar real low.
I find it noteworthy when the team president comes out and says we're going to win 90 games in the division, because I have not heard that for a few years.
He also wasn't asked.
No.
Right? Like, how many wins? And then, like, you're put on a weird, like a weird spot.
Season prediction.
No, he brought it up. Yeah.
That's true. He also, you'll hear another number in this one, Keith, that I'm gonna do my best not to focus on.
All right, what do you have?
But he already has moved the goalposts a little bit. Here was another question about the Red Sox and the rest of their offseason. He implies that they're, doesn't imply. He outright says they're not done.
Our job is to go out and win 95 games and win the American League East.
Stop.
We think we can do
that.
More
stop,
wins.
Stop. So I said I'm not going to try to focus on it. But yeah, he's
now it's 95.
Goalpost moving.
Stop at 90. Maybe 85. 85 is an improvement from last year.
Just say you're going to make the playoffs.
Our
goal is to make the playoffs. I think we all would have been like, oh, good one.
Because like
now you're winning the division in 90 or 95 games.
He's mentioned the division a couple of times.
Yep.
Maybe I'm in the minority. As a fan, I don't care about the division. Make the playoffs and win the World Series.
I'd like it.
Yeah, but if you win the World Series as a wild card, which they've done.
I wouldn't
care
at all.
Did you care?
No, but I'm saying, but what would I'd feel good at the end of the regular season. I mean, the playoffs are the playoffs, but I'd feel good at the end of the regular season if they won the division.
No, it's a nice goal, but I just think it's the playoffs is all that matters.
And the division is worse, and maybe this is some of what they're sensing. The division's worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yankees lost Juan Soto. The Orioles are worse. So, okay, keep going, though. I'll try not to get hung up on that.
Our job is to go out and win 95 games and win the American League East. We think we can do that this year. We really do. And you have to have contributions from all over the roster. That's the focus. That's the job. It's been a frustrating 2022, 23, 24. Probably no more frustrating than for John Henry and Tom Werner and Mike Gordon and yours truly and Alex Cora. We want to get back where we belong, and that's competitive in the American League East, winning that division, getting in the postseason. And I think where we are today, I think we have the opportunity to do that. Are we done in the offseason? No, we're not.
Oh, okay. How about that? Now, they got to get back to where they are. They're going to win divisions. Are they done? No, they're not.
But you can add another Wilson and be like, see, told you we're not done.
Fair.
It doesn't, hopefully it's something bigger than that. Hopefully it's like a key piece to the lineup or like a righty bat or something along those lines. But you can kind of,
Well, and again, it's frustrating because do you want to get better or do you just want a good deal? Because Arenado is their last we heard, they wanted the Cardinals to eat more of that contract.
Yeah.
So you want.
Yeah, they want Bregman.
You want the deal, not the player. They're trying to wait out Bregman.
They're waiting out Bregman, and then they want the Cardinals to be like, fine, we'll pay more for
Bregman.
Arenado.
You don't have any options. Detroit's not going to throw the kind of money we're willing to throw at you. And Giants, same thing. Now, look, if they end up getting him, I guess it's good business, and I'll give him credit for it, and I'll be happy about it. But it just shows you're not doing whatever you can to get a player.
Yeah.
You are
still waiting for deals.
You're waiting for a deal.
Really,
and that's bothered me about this offseason. They're definitely a better team than they were a year ago, that still bothers me.
I still don't really get the Arenado thing. And I love him. Like, what an unbelievable career that he had. He's kind of washed. You put him at third base. Then where does Devers go? Then where does Casas go? Then where does Yoshida go? Like, Bregman, I would prefer it just play third base, but I think they already have announced he's going to play second, and so you have Bregman and Story up the middle, and then you kind of go from there. Marcelo Mayer, I guess, whenever he's ready. So Bregman makes more sense fit-wise. Arenado, I don't really get. Neither one. They'd both be an improvement, I guess, more so Bregman, but okay. It's not like Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
No.
or something like that.
And if you need the Cardinals to eat a bunch of money, that's
what
just,
does that even say about
you're
it?
You're still not the Boston Red Sox that you used to be. You're still not the bully on the block. You need the St. Louis Cardinals to eat money to take on one of their players?
Sky, please? Yeah.
Like, that's sad.
They need Chaim Bloom to eat money.
Oh, that's right. Is he the head of that or no?
I didn't even think
about
that.
Or is he just like there?
I think maybe next year he takes over, but he is very much heavily
involved.
I didn't
think about that. Is there any reason? Isn't that a reason to make a trade with the Cardinals? I get, like, Chaim Bloom probably wants some of his players. That makes sense why the Arenado. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Good observation by Nick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe Chaim Bloom wants some of his guys because he loves all his prospects, as we know. And, look, I'm fine with dealing with Chaim Bloom. He made sucky deals all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with that. I didn't even think about that. One item here, and then we'll get to some of your phone calls. And we'll get back to Wild Card Weekend. What happened? A belated edition since we had an extra playoff game last night. We'll do that coming up about 15 minutes from now. More of your Patriots thoughts as well. Bill Belichick, potential interest in Dallas. Who could the Cowboys be hiring? 617-779-7937. This is from Ken Rosenthal going into the weekend.
All right.
Andy Hart told us about this column going into Fenway Fest, and I think it's just interesting to bring this up. Rosenthal wrote, Fenway Fest replaces the team's winter weekend in Western Massachusetts, where ownership was booed the past 2 years.
Yeah, it was a tough go for them.
Tickets, $85 for adults, $35 for children, with discounts of $75 and $30 for season ticket holders. Okay?
Nice deal.
So, and I've heard Chris and Ken talking about this, Ken and Curtis talking about this, where it's been cheaper tickets in the past, so the people who wanted to come in and boo and really let them have it, they would do that for a cheaper ticket, but this pricing tier is going to price some of those fans potentially out. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's what I found interesting, though. It also includes a voucher for a 2025 Red Sox home game in April or May.
All right.
Once upon a time, Rosenthal writes, the Sox had no problem moving game tickets separately. So was it last year or 2 years ago where they were, you could come in and buy something from Costco and like get a Red Sox ticket with
it? Yeah, they had weird deals. Yeah.
Or you show up to Fenway Fest. Yep. And you get a voucher for a Red Sox ticket in April or May. It just tells you they're having trouble getting Red Sox fans in the ballpark.
Correct.
It's easy to get Orioles fans.
They all show up. They love
Cubs fans when they come in. It's easier to get Yankees fans in there they're having trouble getting Red Sox fans in the ballpark.
Yeah. And that's a big, I mean, the star power is a huge part of that. You know, Rafael Devers isn't that. He's not the guy that's going to sell tickets like a Mookie Betts would, or like a Juan Soto would, or an Aaron Judge. Like, he's not going to be the guy to do that. And so it starts with wins, too. Like, wins are important, and you want that combination of the star power with the wins. And right now, they're still not there. They're definitely better. Maybe Garrett Crochet will at least turn into that once-a-week guy, that appointment television, appointment radio guy like Pedro was, or even Chris Sale was for a couple of seasons. Like, maybe Crochet can be that again.
Maybe. And hopefully he is. But, yeah, they're going to need that for sure. And it tells you they're a little spooked that they're giving away tickets, or a voucher anyway, for tickets in April and May. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Sam Kennedy, his comments, are we going to hold the Red Sox to a higher standard this offseason, despite not really spending any money? Coach is up in New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
Hey, what do you got, Coach?
Hey, Adam, I do appreciate that you like me, think it's stupid that the Red Sox are nickel and diamond Jaron Duran. What I didn't appreciate is a couple of days ago you called him a quote-unquote fun player, and I would argue that last year he was probably the damn heart and soul of that baseball team. He's much, much more than a fun player. One more point.
Yeah.
I think the missing piece is Pete Alonso and his 45 home runs he would bring to that lineup. And lastly, I had the pleasure many, many times of seeing Roman Anthony in the minors. We're going to love him.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Coach.
I'm in on playing the kids.
Jones?
I know you are. I like Pete Alonso as well. When I called him a fun player, I didn't mean he was like a nice little player to be dismissive. I don't think he's a leader, so I'll stand by that if that's what he's taking issue.
No, I don't think he's a leader, but I think like the way he plays, like that kind of thing. Like, he played every day except for the incident there.
Yeah.
Played 160 games. He's a 20-20 guy. He's a good leadoff hitter.
I meant he's a fun player as a compliment. They don't have any fun players. There's nobody that you really want to watch that you're entertained by to tune in. He's the closest thing. When I said fun player, he's the closest thing to must-see TV, the thing we were just talking about with Crochet.
Yeah.
He's the closest thing they have to it. It's not Devers.
No.
No one tunes in and they go, oh, my God, Rafi Devers is a bat?
No.
Duran is he steals home. He, you know, is hitting the home runs in the All-Star game. Like, Duran is actually a fun player to watch. So that's what I meant by that. I didn't mean fun as dismissive.
No, not an insult.
Like, he's a guy to tune in and
no,
watch.
No, he's legit. He's really good. Pete Alonso, he mentioned, and this is a take that Nick has had, that he hit 53 home runs as a rookie. That was the juiced ball season,
yes,
right?
That was the year Christian Vasquez hit 23 home runs. He never hit double digits again.
Okay.
So the ball was wound by
catch strays here, but yeah.
Leave Vasquez out of this. Yeah. The ball was wound a little tight. No, but he is a power hitter, and you know, 2 years ago he hit 46. That's a monster season. This past year he hit 34. And if you're looking for like a big old righty stick, put it first base, I'd be in on Pete Alonso.
Alonso or Casas, just in a vacuum.
Alonso.
Yeah. And then hopefully you get something for Casas as well. If I'm moving Tristan Casas, they need to be getting someone like that.
Because don't you hope
aim
Casas
higher than Arenado
becomes Alonso?
Yes, 100%. Like, 100%. You know, probably with a higher average, but that kind of power and middle of the order presence, yeah. Matt's in Rhode Island on Sam Kennedy. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I don't know if Sam Kennedy led off the winter weekend by telling everyone that he grew up less than a mile from Fenway Park, but that's kind of his go-to.
Has he ever said that before,
no.
Matt? I'd actually never heard that before. Yeah.
Never talks about it.
Yeah. But anyway, it's such a Ponzi scheme that they're running, because the next carrot they're going to dangle is all the prospects. And, you know, they had the $700 million to spend, but now they don't spend anything. So it's just like, this is what it is right now, going 95 to 90 wins to probably 82 during spring training, just missing the wild card. But they just go sign Bregman, like, just do it. And like you guys are just saying, like, what's all the back and forth? Like, I don't get it. But
well, look, Matt, if they get him, I won't care that it took for. I didn't care that it took forever to sign JD Martinez. I didn't care about that.
Yeah, as long as the guy doesn't get off to like a really slow start, and you wonder if that impacted it. Like, other than that, you won't even mind.
That's fair. And
you don't want to sign him like March 20th.
And I also don't care if John Henry spends $250 million, $150 million. Like, I don't care. It's not my money. You're getting the player either way. In that scenario, so if they get him, I'll back off on this. But in the meantime, it underscores that they weren't in love with Bregman. They're in love with the contract, and that they seem to operate that way too often for my taste. I'm okay with playing the kids. What I don't like is the excuse the last few years of, We're playing the kids. Wait till all the kids get here. Just wait till these prospects get here.
Well, they should be ready.
And then you trade all the prospects.
Right.
For guys like Garrett Crochet, who I like, and I'm okay with that trade, but like that's another cheap guy. Are you ever going to spend money, or were you just selling us on the future of the prospects as a justification to not spend money in the meantime?
Because I don't know if like Roman Anthony or Christian Campbell is ready for opening day, but if they don't sign anybody else, it feels like they better be. Like that's right. How I view it, right? If you sign Bregman, you're like, all right, we can wait a little bit now on Campbell, or if you or certainly Marcel Lemaire, because we assume Trevor Story will be healthy at least for the start.
Vaughn Grissom or Christian Campbell?
Campbell. Oh my God, I don't want to see Vaughn Grissom again.
Me neither. And I know he's young-ish, fine.
I'm good.
I'd rather see a guy who people think is a legit generational prospect in the minor leagues. Roman Anthony is the top prospect, according to a lot of these outlets.
I would like to see him play.
So, like, him or Willier Abreu? I'm okay to flip Abreu for something else and play him.
If you can get something for Abreu, sure.
I'm okay to do that. And if it's not right away on opening day, you know, shortly thereafter. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here. We'll get back into the NFL with all your Red Sox phone calls. Dallas has a vacancy. Could Bill be interested in the job? Who else could be in line to get the Dallas Cowboys head coaching jobs? Somebody that I've advocated for in the past. Sounds like he's in the mix there, so we'll get to it. And we'll get you a belated what happened with Wild Card Weekend in the NFL now that it's all wrapped up.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
All right, let's get it. We're a day late, but this way, Jones, we get to look at every single one of the wild card games. Spoiler alert, most of them, bad games. Most of them were bad games.
I would say all of them except for the Sunday evening game. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a series of bad games. Let's rip through them with some of the highlights here. We have the Chargers-Texans game.
What happened?
Not a great game for Justin Herbert.
Herbert, pump, throw, intercepted. Eric Murray, pick six. Touchdown, Texans.
Texans 32, Chargers 12. Is the story a good win for the Texans or a bad loss for the Chargers?
Oh, it's more about a bad loss for the Chargers.
Yeah. Well,
one thing I'll point out, a lot of people have referenced the Herbert interceptions, and I wouldn't say Herbert played
several of them.
I wouldn't say he played well in the game at all.
No.
But how many went off the hands of his receivers? Pick sixes
he
the other way.
He has one good receiver.
I think both pick sixes went right off his receiver's hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So, look, I'm not telling you Herbert's great. He needs to win games. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. Both have been poor. He didn't play great in that game.
No.
But I would just add a little context to two of the pick sixes went right off his guy's hands. And that said, as a bitter person who bet on the Chargers in that game.
Yet you've been a Texans guy all year. I've thought the Texans have sucked all year, and here they are in the divisional round.
It's true. Yeah. It's a good point, but I didn't pick them going into that game. I did not foresee this one coming. I don't think they have any chance against the Chiefs.
None chance.
But, yeah, no, this is a story about the Chargers and Harbaugh getting pantsed. And to a degree, I think there was a theme, and maybe my antenna's just up because we talked about it late last week, defensive coaches versus offensive coaches. Harbaugh, offensive guy. D'Amico Ryan's defensive guy.
Defense wins.
Score one for the defensive guys.
Ladd McConkey, you may have heard his name by now, who the Patriots could have selected with the 34th pick in the draft. They opted to trade that selection. He had 9 catches for 197 yards and a touchdown in a playoff game.
Oh, in a play. It was a loss, though, Keith.
Okay.
You think Elliott Wolf's really thumping his chest?
He's like,
it was a loss.
Yeah. Good thing that loss. Take that, McConkey.
Probably.
So the Texans move on, as you said, Jones, to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Also on Saturday, we had a division game, Ravens and Steelers.
What happened?
They get their two big stars back. Meanwhile, there goes Henry. There goes Henry all the way for the touchdown.
Derrick Henry had 26 carries for 186 yards and two touchdowns. Ooh. As the Ravens double up the Steelers 28-14. A couple of things about this game. One, everyone's like, oh, the Steelers are a mess. Like Mike Tomlin, yeah, it was a bad game for Mike Tomlin. Like Mike Tomlin got that bunch of losers to the playoffs. It's kind of actually impressive.
So, I mean, they've lost five in a row, right? They lost their last four regular season games
but
in this.
They were, there's that, but like, I don't know. I think I didn't give Mike Tomlin enough credit for a long time. I understand he's not, you know, piling up Super Bowls, but he was balancing Justin Fields and Russell Wilson all season. He's got that maniac George Pickens he's got to deal with. They won 10 games, went to the playoffs. They were 9.5-point underdogs, well, and they lost. And now people are like this outraged. They lost to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
This is my feeling on this. Now, look, I didn't pick them to win. I thought they'd cover the 9.5. So if you thought Tomlin was safe going into the game, I don't get coming out of it going, they got to get rid of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, you should have wanted to get rid of him either way.
Correct. If you were saying
and maybe it, you do. I'm not saying he's like the perfect coach. No. I'm saying he's done a good job.
And, you know, you have to wonder if this is a little Terry Francona or Claude Julien or something like that, where you've been there for a while and you are a good coach, but you need a change of scenery. I'd allow for that. I just wouldn't feel any different Saturday afternoon versus right. Sunday afternoon about right. Mike Tomlin. They were favored to lose that game or projected to lose that game by double digits.
Meanwhile,
so what'd you expect?
Lamar Jackson didn't have to do much, but he's obviously had his playoff issues in the past, but he had a clean game, couple of touchdown passes. It was really a Derrick Henry performance. A guy, of course, referenced by Mike Vrabel earlier this morning on the Greg Hill Show as he coached him for a few years, said he was their best player, which is why they ran a lot. So the Ravens move on to the divisional round. On Sunday...
Real quick, are you going to get to all these divisional round matchups at the end, or do you want guys bring something up about that matchup now?
Sure. Well, Jones, we don't even know who they're playing yet because we haven't gotten to that game.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Maybe I'll bring it up after that game. Let's do it there.
The Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos.
It's them.
It's definitely the Bills.
It's them, yeah.
Big play here. Trying to go up top for it.
He wants to run for it, Jim. He wants to just go get it with his legs. He's trying to find
it. It wasn't there, so now he's got to throw it deep to the end zone. And was that caught? Yes! Ty Johnson scrapes it off the ground, above the ground for the touchdown.
Tony Romo all over it. He's going to run. He's going to try to run. He's like, no, he's not.
He's running here.
He's going to throw it.
You know he's going to do it.
Touchdown.
Every third down, he's like, Josh Allen's going to run here.
Yeah. He didn't. Bills blow out the Broncos 31-7 as Josh Allen throws a couple of touchdowns. James Cook had a great game, 120 yards rushing and a score. They made that good Broncos defense not look so good.
No. That play was incredible.
Easy win. Oh, yeah. I didn't think he was in bounds at first.
I'm still not sure.
Not Josh Allen, but Ty Johnson.
Watching him real speed, I thought the ball hit the ground. It clearly didn't.
No.
I then saw the replay and thought he might have been out of bounds. I think he was in. You think he was out of bounds?
It was really, like, the ball was scraping on the ground as his ankle hit. It was weird.
It was weird,
incredible play, though.
But, yeah, so you get Bills and Ravens.
There's
in the
next
round.
I wanted to reference.
That's it. But the two top MVP candidates going head-to-head.
Ravens are favored. How do you feel about that?
I would probably take the Bills.
Me too.
It's in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like it's their year. But, I mean, the Ravens, maybe you got to feel good. Like, get Lamar a win. Derrick Henry had a good game against them. They blew doors in the regular season.
I'm with you on this. The idea that, you know, Lamar, part of the reason I picked Pittsburgh in that game is because Lamar struggled in the playoffs, so I thought Pittsburgh could at least keep it close. You know, Lamar getting a win under his belt is not insignificant. I'd still pick Buffalo. I'd probably pick Buffalo if they were favored by a point or two. Never mind getting them plus money or at least even money on the money line.
How about my guy Bo Nix leading a touchdown drive to start the game? They're up 7-0.
That throw.
Then they gave up 31 unanswered points and they lost. I actually thought Sean Payton was pretty bad. I think maybe I'm biased because I think Bo Nix is good. They kind of relied on their running game too much. They should have let Bo Nix kind of like slide around a little bit and throw those short passes. Also, a cool stat, first time in playoff history, a rookie quarterback threw a touchdown to a rookie or to a rookie, and it happened to be Troy Franklin, who he played with in college.
Wow.
Rookie to rookie, I guess it never happened in the playoffs.
Hadn't seen that.
That's bizarre.
How about that?
Well, that's all they had. That's all they did.
That's the only thing they did.
But they are done. The next game on Sunday was Eagles and Packers.
Hey, what happened?
Throw in here. Quick throw in here. Good adjustment and a catch by Goddard.
Pretty crazy play to Dallas Goedert. Like, he caught the ball, stiffed arm a guy
that
ran away.
Awesome.
You're like, oh my God, like Dallas Goedert can do that? It was kind of a nothing game, though. Jordan Love threw a bunch of picks, low scoring. really dominated by the Eagles. You never felt for a second the Eagles were going to lose the game.
I think in some ways it was the most boring game.
It was boring.
Of the weekend. Yeah. The newsiest thing, and we talked about it earlier today, was A.J. Brown reading on the sidelines.
Reading a book on the sideline. The other newsy thing was a Philadelphia Eagles fan in the crowd berating a Packers female fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He called her a lot of really bad words.
Yes, he did.
He has now been banned from all NFL stadiums.
Oh, good.
And I think the morning show said they, I think they sent like a gift basket to the Packer fan.
Yeah, they sent her a bunch of Packers gear.
How about that? A Philadelphia.
She's like, great, I got berated for 3 hours by some drunk idiot calling me ugly and all this other stuff. Just trying to watch the game.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Philly fans to
me. Would you trade 3 hours of berating for a gift basket?
From the gift basket.
I mean, we get berated for 4 hours if you read the text line.
Good point.
So I guess maybe I would.
I'll take a gift basket out of it, yeah. I get berated
enough. It's like an old starter's jacket and a wheel of cheese. Like, I'll take that.
Yeah, and
that sounds pretty great, actually.
Yeah, nice charcuterie board.
Sure. The price of cheese now has gone up.
Way
like,
up.
Like everything else.
It's not eggs, but
so yeah. The Eagles are on to the divisional round. What about the Washington Commanders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
What happened?
The one good game of the whole thing came down to the very end.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight. The Washington Commanders off the upright. It is in. They fight their way to the divisional round. Unbelievable.
I've done that a few Saturday nights.
Is that the second time Tariqo has a doink for the division call?
Tariqo loves saying doink. He
you
does.
Ever doinked your way to the divisional round? We got two kids at home.
I like the Doink podcast is what I
Yeah,
like.
The hashtag Doink. Yeah. New one out right now, by the way. Nice. But Commanders kind of breaking that streak. Rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs have been terrible. Bo Nix added to that list earlier in the day with another loss. Mac Jones is on that list. C.J. Stroud from a year ago. Like a bunch of quarterbacks have lost. But Jaden Daniels got the win. I was disappointing. I was rooting for my guy, Baker Mayfield. And I was also rooting for overtime because you get down there and you're like, maybe he'll miss this kick. We've had all these bad games. I can watch a little bit more good football.
Give us a little bit more. I agree.
But the Commanders move on. Commanders started hot, had that lull in the middle of the season where you and I both were like, they might fall out of it. Then they picked it right back up, and now they're moving on to the divisional round.
So, look, I said all along I prefer Drake May to Jaden Daniels. I get taking Jaden Daniels over Drake May. It's pretty hard to defend that stance.
Still playing.
Based on the way Jaden Daniels looked in that game and has looked down the stretch and really all year.
Yeah.
I was very wrong about Tampa. That was one team I said you don't want to play down the stretch. I'm right about this next team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were. Monday Night Football, which neither of us like in the wild card weekend. No. It should be on the weekend. But Monday Night Football last night, it was Rams and Vikings.
What happened?
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown.
To paraphrase an old bit of ours, I would say, Sam Darnold, you're done, son. You're done, son. I think that's going to do it. For
anywhere,
Sam Darnold.
Anywhere in the league?
Back into a pumpkin. Here's how I'd play it if I was Minnesota. Because, I mean, you drafted J.J. McCarthy really high. You obviously like him more than you and I do. But you have him. Maybe you say to Sam Darnold, hey, why don't you see what else is out there? I don't think a smart team would bring him in. You're like, all right, he had that kind of season, but then he eventually turned back into Sam Darnold. And Kevin O'Connell deserves a lot of credit for being able to get. I don't know if every team has a Kevin O'Connell to get that out of Sam Darnold, or wouldn't you want to just try a different project? I don't think he is now like coach, coordinator, team proof where he goes somewhere. Like he has Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Kevin O'Connell. Great season. Ended horribly.
Who's 1-2 in the draft? It's Cleveland and the Giants?
No.
Cleveland and Tennessee. I'm sorry.
Tennessee.
And throw the Giants in the mix. Like, some of those teams, maybe you bring in Darnold to supplement Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or whatever. Like, I could see something like that.
But if he played better for... Yeah, right. But if he played better for two games, couldn't you make the argument maybe they take offers on McCarthy?
Yeah.
Now you're like, no.
No, I'd turn it over. I was saying as recently as a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, I think I'd bring Darnold back and I'd run the J.J. McCarthy thing back and I'd do that.
Yeah.
And I don't like McCarthy as a prospect either. Now, these last two games, Sam Darnold, the Lions and the Rams last night, look out. I still would not want to play this Rams team. Like Rams Eagles next week?
Oh, yeah.
They could beat the Eagles.
I think they're 6-point underdogs. I think the Rams have a real shot in that game. I do.
So the games, it is just a weekend. There's no Wednesday night football or Friday afternoon football.
It's good.
On Saturday, two on Sunday. The first two on Saturday, Texans, Chiefs. Chiefs laying 7.5.
Yeah, I'd take them to cover.
Probably should cover that. Lions, Commanders, Lions laying 9.5.
That's a lot for a playoff game, and it's dangerous to rule out Jaden Daniels. I think I'd lay the points there, too.
I know. I'd probably go favorite. That those place, are the two bye
that
teams.
That place is going to be
over-under on that one.
55.5.
Oh, yeah. Wow. 55.5.
Yeah.
That place is going to be nuts, by the way.
It's going to be awesome.
I think I would lay the 10 in that game.
That's a Fox game. On Sunday, Rams and Eagles. Eagles are laying 6.
I want the Rams and the points, and I would think about taking them straight up.
Yeah. All right. And then Ravens-Bills, which on paper, the game of the week, far and away the closest spread. Baltimore -1 as of right now, and over-under of 51.5. Two best players from this season anyway, Lamar and Josh Allen. Yep. So
I want Bill's money line there. I was going to ask you the over-under. It's 51.5.
51.5.
Nice.
Yeah, I think the two best matchups are Sunday, right? I feel like the number one seeds should roll on Saturday. At least they should. And then maybe you were in store for two good games on Sunday. There you go. What happened?
Spin around the NFL. What happened? A reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We have Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday coming your way at high noon. Let's get to the Cowboys head coaching vacancy. Bill Belichick? Deion Sanders? Who's getting that job? We'll get to it next.
Yeah, I think Mike's done a great job. Certainly his entry into coaching was no surprise to any of us that knew him and coached him at New England. I talked to him when he was at Ohio State, and then when he went to the Texans, and then of course at Tennessee, and we practiced against them, and stayed in pretty close contact with Mike. So I have a ton of respect for Mike. I think he does a great job. He's prepares his teams well. They're very good in situational football. They're tough. They're competitive. They're smart, just like he was as a player. I think the teams that he's coached and the position he's coached follow very much in his playing style and in his preparation style. So, I love Mike. I love everything that he stands for as a football coach. And, I have a lot of respect for him. I'm sure he'll do a great job.
Bill Belichick yesterday on McAfee. I love Mike.
Loves Mike.
I love what he stands for.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll do a great job.
Yeah. He didn't stab me in the back like the last guy. So I like him. I like Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I am far from the first to point it out. You're alluding to it as well. That's very different than how he's talking about.
Oh, it's the opposite.
Gerard Mayo and the Patriots.
Both former players. You know, Gerard, you would think, would actually be talked about high, not knowing how it all played out, but the fact that he was on his coaching staff. Like, Mike Vrabel never coached for him, although I think Bill respects that. I think he sees, the sort of football coaching journey that he went on, going to college for a few years, couple NFL teams, working his way up, coordinator to head coach, just like Bill did. Bill, think of all the jobs Bill had before he became a head coach. I think he looks at Vrabel that way.
Maybe. If Bill really respected it, wouldn't he have his kids do it?
Is Steve kind of doing that for a year?
I mean, for a year, he went and coached with Bill's buddy.
Yeah.
For a year.
No, maybe.
But I think Vrabel referenced it. He said, there were some talks at one point about me maybe, joining up with Bill. It doesn't sound like they got very far.
No.
And he's like, I wanted to forge my own path.
And their head-to-head matchups, Bill, even though at the time, he was steaming at him. And remember, he's like MFing him on the sideline and everything. But I think afterwards, I'd be like, this guy knows what he's doing.
No, I would.
Like, he respects him.
I would definitely agree with that. And look, I mean, Belichick is very complimentary of him, which he wasn't about Gerard Mayo. Maybe that means something to you. Maybe it doesn't. But I do think it's factual.
Yeah.
If you were following it for the last year plus. So it's Jones and Keefe. We'll get to Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday at high noon. All the latest on Mike Vrabel. What's he hearing on the front office? How much power will Elliott Wolf have? Is it just going to be the Vrabel show with Ryan Cowden? Who's going to be the offensive coordinator, McDaniels or somebody else from Vrabel's past? Plus, whatever he's hearing on Bill Belichick and UNC. Belichick by Jordan Schultz was linked to the Dallas Cowboys vacancy with Mike McCarthy now officially out in Dallas. The latest reporting is that Deion has commented on it. There have been conversations between Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. I said at the end of yesterday's show, I think that makes a lot of sense now that McCarthy's out.
Mm-hmm.
I like Deion as a coaching candidate. I advocated for him here last year when they brought in Gerard Mayo. I'm like, who would I hire to replace Bill Belichick? Deion was my answer a year ago. So I like Deion.
After watching it play out this year,
I think it makes a lot of sense in Dallas.
Like another year of Deion in Colorado, would you go Deion over Vrabel? I like Deion too, but I'd take Vrabel.
Yeah.
Especially the way, like,
it didn't finish well for Deion.
Is Deion really a coach?
I don't know.
Is he? You mean like scheme wise? I don't know.
Yeah,
Vrabel,
I don't know what outside of recruiting.
But,
what is?
But
he
that's
do?
What everybody loves about Vrabel. Vrabel's not really a scheme guy either. It's kind of like I'm going to lead the group.
It might come down to his coordinators too.
No, his whole thing was we're up 40 against Colorado State. Should Ergo throw the ball more so you can get drafted higher? That was Deion.
I think the dynamic of him not coaching his kid and his kid not being coached by him is going to be fascinating for both guys next year.
It would be. Are we sure he's not going to be coaching his kid?
No, we're not sure. I mean, he's not coaching him here. It's like if he came here, he wouldn't have Shadur.
I'm saying if he went to Dallas, are we sure he won't be coaching Shadur?
No, I wouldn't say that. They got the 12th pick in the draft, so could they move up and get both Sanders? Yeah, they could. I don't know what Dak Prescott gets you anymore, but a team would take him.
Yeah.
He's got to get healthy. But
you're going to have to pay a lot of that money, Jones, which Jerry Jones may
not want
to
do. But then you're paying a rookie contract quarterback.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you could. Could the Raiders get both guys? Like, they probably could.
Yeah, that's an
Raiders have the 6th pick.
Easier leap.
No real connection with any other NFL team, though, just Dallas with Deion, which would be amazing. Like, I'd love to see how it plays out. I don't know if it'd be great. I kind of view him more as like a John Calipari, like to Nick's point, like going to get you some guys, going to tell you what it takes to be in the league, like all this kind of like a nice pipeline. But then when it comes down to coaching, like, I think we've seen Calipari get overmatched time and time again. Deion, a little bit apples to oranges, basketball to football, but with Deion, like, they were good this year. You know, they were horrible the first year, right? They won a couple of games early, so everybody thought they were going to be good, and then you're like, oh, no. The team kind of sucks outside of his kid and Travis Hunter. And then this year, they were definitely better, but yeah, I don't know what kind of coaching staff you would have and everything else.
So I referenced late in the show yesterday that Mike Florio had highlighted that Bill Belichick hasn't really hired anybody at UNC. He hired his kid, and he hired Lombardi's kid.
He's got a GM.
He hired some dude from the CFL.
Keeping a couple guys.
But no Patricia, no McDaniels, no Joe Judge, which maybe Florio insinuated. Maybe
Bill's
all those guys.
It's like, I'm not bringing these guys
maybe,
in.
Maybe all those guys are waiting to see if Bill pivots to the NFL
or
and
maybe
leaves UNC.
He's trying to make sure he locks up a few wide receivers and quarterbacks before he brings in Bebop and Rocksteady to run his offense.
He's like, he tries to get the 3 and 4 star wide receiver recruits before he's like, oh, by the way, Matt Patricia's your offensive coordinator.
You're like, wait a minute, what? Maybe. Can I leave? Like, nope, too late. You're locked in. You're here.
You got to be here. Yep. Can't go into the portal yet. So Lombardi quote tweeted that story yesterday, and maybe he's got a little Marchand in him, protesting a little too much.
Oh, boy.
We are not slow, just being diligent. We hired 3 people on Sunday. Not one is nervous other than this erroneous report. So are they nervous or are they not, Mike?
Hard to tell.
Pound sand.
A completely fabricated story.
Yeah.
Thank you. At least he was polite about
that
it.
That is nice.
Yeah.
At least he edited it with a thank you.
Do you think Bill has any chance?
Didn't say thank you.
No, definitely not. No.
Anger rant.
Do you think Bill has any shot in Dallas?
No. I think it would have been either done before. I also feel like there would have been some sort of conversation. I don't know if it was Bill and Jerry, but like some sort of conversation as the season was playing out. Like, hey, if you do move on, any interest? Like that kind of, I think there. He doesn't go to North Carolina without checking everything.
Bill was out of football. Bill was not under contract.
Right.
Bill was available, and so no, I don't think he's going there.
I think he's staying at Carolina.
And I never thought he was, but some others do. Deion to me makes a lot of sense, and it should be, although I know Troy Aikman disagrees, it should be a pretty attractive job.
Yeah, Troy Aikman kind of laying the lumber on Dallas.
Aikman, I wonder if that was a pro-McCarthy thing. I'm not really sure where Aikman was coming from. Maybe he's telling it like it is. Jerry doesn't spend, and so it's really not that attractive of a job. I mean, maybe Aikman's just truth-telling there. Yeah. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on that, the NFL coaching carousel. Where does Bill fit into it? Does he fit into it? All that and more, Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday. What's he hearing about Elliott Wolf? What's he hearing about Josh McDaniels or whoever the OC will be for Mike Vrabel? And what do you think of Mike Vrabel and the showing he put on yesterday? We'll do all that next.